fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty high-o silver, the Lone Ranger.
Before this exciting adventure, a word from our sponsor, General Mills, makers of Cheerios, the oat cereal that's ready to eat, Betty Crocker Mixes, and Wheaties, the breakfast of champions, present by special recording, The Lone Ranger. You know, one of the best things about summer is those lazy afternoon picnics. And I bet your moms know about one of the easiest snacks ever, a marvelous Betty Crocker marble cake. Mmm, what could taste better with a cold glass of milk or lemonade from the thermos than a big slice of marble cake? And Betty Crocker Marble Cake Mix is the mix in just one package that you can mix in just one bowl. There's no chocolate to melt, no extra bowls or pans to wash. And the same high-quality ingredients you choose yourself are right in the mix, including famous softest silk cake flour and pure vegetable shortening. You just add water and two fresh eggs for a cake that is high, light, and, well, absolutely perfect. Betty Crocker guarantees with all her cake mixes a perfect cake every time you bake. Cake after cake after cake. Perfect, or write General Mills, Minneapolis, Minnesota for your money back. Ask your moms to bake up a marvelous Betty Crocker marble cake for the next picnic your family plans. With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, Victor. I am Silver. Hooray!
At 3 o'clock in the morning, three men crouched in front of the big safe in the First State Bank in Modoc City. Two wore masks and held guns. The third, a new cashier named Carl Gorman, had been brought under threat of death from his room in Ma Hank's Hotel to open the safe.
It's open.
The masked outlaws transferred new paper money from the safe to a sack, then left after tying and gagging the cashier. The following morning at dawn, the Lone Ranger and Tonto were breaking camp. As they finished tying their gear behind the saddles, the masked man said,
Tonto, we're only a half day's ride from Modoc City. We'll go there and see our old friends, Ma Hank and her husband, Uncle Homer.
Me be glad to see him.
We'll warn them to be on the lookout for Lon Felton and Chip Evans.
You think crooks go to Modoc City?
Well, the last time we heard of them, they were heading in that direction. And they were short of cash. Unless Ma Hank is warned, they might swindle her out of her savings. With her wealth and big heart, she'd be an easy victim.
Felton, Evans, plenty smart. Law never proved them crooks.
They'll make a mistake someday, Tonto. That'll be the end of them.
Better we'd be careful in Modoc City.
Oh, why, Tonto?
We hear a new sheriff in charge there while Marshall out of town. Him suspect everybody. Him see mask, him ask plenty questions.
Oh, we'll avoid him, Tonto. It's easy to reach the stable behind the Henry house without being seen, even in daylight. All right, are you ready?
Be ready.
Easy, city, big fella. Come on, Silver.
Come.
Later the same morning, Carl Gorman was being questioned by Sheriff Mark Cole in the private office of the Modoc City Bank, while Hiram Clay, the president of the bank, stood by. Gorman had told his story repeatedly since being found tied and gagged in the bank. But the suspicious sheriff was still not satisfied. His eyes were hostile, and his voice was hard as he said,
You sure you can't describe the two men?
Sheriff, I've told you all I know. Their faces were covered.
Gorman, why don't you tell Mr. Clay and me the truth?
I have.
You know who took the money.
I do not.
You were in on the deal.
I was not.
The bigger they'll split the money with.
That's not true.
Gorman, it'll go a lot easier with you if you tell the truth right now and make a full confession.
But I have...
My deputy is searching the Henry House right now. And if the stolen money is found where you live, you...
Oh, that's my deputy.
Come in. Ma Hank.
Now wait, Ma Hank. Deputy, you shut up. I'll do the talking. Sheriff Cole, this addle-brained deputy thinks he's got me under arrest. Me?
Sheriff, you told me to search for the stolen money in the hotel. Well, I didn't find it in any of the bedrooms, not even Gorman's room. I wanted to do a thorough job. So while Ma Hank was in the kitchen, I looked in her office.
You had no business in there.
Well, that's where I found some of the stolen money, and here it is.
So that's it. Ma Hank, you were in on the robbery. You were Gorman's accomplice.
Why, you...
Put down that paper.
Ma Hank, restrain yourself. Sheriff, you and your deputy are mistaken.
What?
Ma Hank withdrew this money yesterday from the bank. I paid it to her myself. It's all her money.
But it's the same kind you reported stolen.
It was part of the same shipment of currency. Now, Sheriff, you'd better apologize.
Doggone it. I'm sorry, Ma Hank.
All right, Sheriff. I'll bat your ears down, but I suppose you can't help being a mistrustful old coot. Now, what was it you said about me being Gorman's accomplice? Are you trying to hang something on Carl Gorman?
Well, I...
Yes, he is, Ma Hank.
What?
He's been questioning me all morning. He thinks I had a hand in the robbery.
Why, that's nonsense. I trust you, Carl. How about you, Hiram Clay?
Huh?
You gonna swear out a warrant for Carl's arrest?
Well, no.
Then that settles it.
Of course, Gorman, many people will suspect it. That is, for the good of the bank.
I understand, Mr. Clay. I resign to save you embarrassment.
Come with me, Carl.
All right.
I'll take my money with me. As for you, Sheriff, you better start looking for the real crook.
I'm going to keep an eye on Gorman. I have a hunch he'll lead me to his confederates and to the stolen money. Come on, Deputy.
I'm with you, Sheriff.
Walking from the bank to the hotel, the young cashier felt bitter and told Ma Hank his intention to leave Modoc City as soon as possible. The big, good-hearted woman said,
"Well, now there's no cause for you to leave."
"Well, I can't stay here, Ma Hank. I have no job."
"Stay on at the bank."
"Oh, I've already resigned. I'll go back to Denver. Maybe if the real crooks are found and I'm cleared of suspicion, I'll be able to come back."
"How are you going to Denver?"
"I'll take the next stagecoach."
"That means you'll have to wait till the end of the week."
"Yeah, but can't be helped."
"Carl, you take my husband Homer's horse and ride to Rock Junction. Now you can board the Denver train that stops there tonight. And that'll save you waiting all week for the stage."
"Oh, thanks, Ma Hank, but what about the horse?"
"Tie the reins to the pommel and turn him loose. If you'll come home..."
A short time later, Lon Felton, one of the bank robbers, entered the rear room he shared with his partner, Chip Evans, on the second floor of the Henry House. Chip said,
"Lon, it's a good thing we hid that money on Boot Hill instead of keeping it here in the room."
"Yeah, how's that?"
"A deputy came here and searched the room."
"Yeah, I heard about that. He searched all the rooms."
"You think anyone suspects us?"
"No, Chip. The bank cashier is the only one under suspicion."
"We handled it smart."
"There's not enough evidence to hold him, though. He quit his job and he's going back to Denver."
"How soon are we leaving town?"
"Well, we don't want to leave too soon and make that sheriff suspicious. We'll stay around for another week."
"That suits me. I think..." "Wait. Look through the window, Lon. Gorman is going to ride one of Ma Hank's horses."
The thieves watched Gorman ride away from the stable. And a moment later, the sheriff and deputy watched him ride out of town. The sheriff said,
"Get your horse, Joe.
We're going to follow Gorman?"
"Right. And I'll bet he leads us to the men who helped him rob the bank."
We'll continue our Lone Ranger adventure in just a moment.
All over the country, in every direction, how you do it is the question. And here's one that the happy people have.
have to say. How are we defending? Doing okay.
Okay.
Right. That's something champions know everywhere, wherever you go. Take Parbuston Sammy Sneed, born in old Virginia. Slammin' Sam has been up on top for years and eaten his Wheaties regularly. And Al Rosen, born in sunny South Carolina, clutch hitter with the Cleveland Indians. There's Al at the plate. Here's the pitch. Another solid sock for a solid champ. And say Al Rosen's been eating Wheaties for 23 baseball seasons. That's the way it goes. South, north, east, west, Wheaties. Why, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake.
Keep on eating your Wheaties, and you'll be doing okay.
Okay.
Now, to continue. The Lone Ranger and Tonto, traveling through hilly country, were about 3 miles from Modoc City when they rode over a rise and saw a man trying desperately to control a big, wildly pitching horse.
Tonto, that man's in trouble.
Ah, horse, plenty big, it'd kill him.
It looks like Uncle Homer's horse. Come on, through there!
The horse did all he knew in an effort to throw his rider. Carl had lost the reins. He clung desperately to the saddle pommel. He rocked and swayed as the Lone Ranger and Tonto came close.
Take him off, Tonto. Steady there, steady boy. Whoa!
The masked man picked up the reins and held them close.
Easy, steady.
Tonto brought Scout alongside and threw an arm around Gorman's waist.
Let's stir up, Tonto. Me lift you off.
He's getting there, fella. Easy.
Tonto lowered Carl Gorman over the back of Scout to the ground. And a few moments later, the horse was calmed by the Lone Ranger's reassuring voice and manner. Then the masked man turned to the ex-cashier.
Are you all right, Easy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks to you two.
Isn't this horse from the Henry house?
Oh, yeah. How did you know?
We're friends of Ma Hank and her husband.
You? A masked man?
Ma Hank will explain my mask. Oh, how did you get her horse?
Well, she loaned him to me. I thought I could handle him, but when he was frightened by a rattler, I lost control. I'm not much of a horseman.
At that moment, the sheriff and deputy, who had been following Carl Gorman, drew rein as they neared the top of a slight elevation.
Oh, 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 oh.
The sheriff dismounted and said,
I'll take a look beyond the rise.
Good idea, Sheriff. You want Gorman to know we're following him?
We let him cross the next ridge before we... Joe, we got him.
Huh?
The crooks. Gorman's met him in the valley just a short way ahead. One's masked, the other's an Indian. Throw your gun and come on steady. Get up!
Get along, boy.
Your hands!
You're covered!
One fast moving, we shoot!
Surprised at the sudden appearance of two men wearing sheriff's badges, the Lone Ranger and Tonto held their hands at shoulder level. Carl Gorman faced the lawman angrily.
Oh, now don't move!
What's this mean, Sheriff?
It means we've got you dead to rights with your bank robbing partner.
We figured you'd meet your pals to split the loot, so we followed
you. Now, the three of you stand still while we dismount.
Easy now.
Sheriff, you know very well I had no hand in that bank robbery.
Then why'd you sneak out of town in such a hurry to meet your partner?
I didn't. These men saved my life. They were...
Save the talk. Disarm them, Joe.
Don't try it.
Joe, you heard me.
Come one step closer and I'll disarm you both.
Big talk, Jimmy.
I meant it.
You hurt my hand. I'm hurt.
Stand still.
I'm hit. I'm wounded. I'm hurt.
No, you're not. My bullet hit your gun. Your hand's not touched.
You smashed my shooting iron, too. You shot it out of my hand. What kind of gunplay was that? I never even saw your hands move.
They move.
Sheriff, he shot from both hips at the same time. I never saw such gunplay.
Yeah, gun slick as well as a bank robber. A killer, then.
I'm neither a killer nor a thief. Otto, see if the lawman has handcuffs. Use them on the lawman's ankles. You men, take off your boots. Gorman, you pick up their guns.
Take off my boots!
We can't ride without boots and our ankles hobbled.
Before you ride, you'll have to call to your horses. It'll be about a half a mile away.
Gorman, if you throw in with these two...
He's going with us.
But, mister,
I want to hear all about that robbery. I think you're the one to tell me.
Sometime later, in a well-concealed camp in the hills, the Lone Ranger won the confidence of Carl Gorman and heard the details of the robbery. He then said,
Carl, have there been any new arrivals in Modoc City?
Just two mining engineers, Mr. Smith and Mr. Ritter.
Oh?
Well, they've been at the Henry House for the past week.
Why are they in town?
Well, they're thinking of starting mining operations in the hills. They've been studying the situation and talking to Mr. Clay, the banker, about financing.
Tell me, what do they look like?
Well, they're both about average size. Mr. Ritter has dark hair, and Mr. Smith is bald. Smith has a broken nose and a scar on the left cheek. Ritter's right eyelid drooped.
He must stop it.
Yes, I know, Toto. They fit the descriptions of Lon Felton and Chip Evans.
Who?
A couple of crooks who might well pose as mining engineers. I know for sure when I see them.
Will you go to Henry House?
Yes, Toto, but after dark. You and Carl go to the stable without being seen and wait there. I'll disguise myself as a prospector and call on Ma Hank.
That evening, Ma Hank was washing dishes in the hotel kitchen when a tall man entered the back door.
Evening, ma'am.
Wrong door, stranger. Go around to the front.
Is that the way to welcome an old friend?
Oh, that boy. Sakes alive, it's you.
How are you, Ma Hank?
Fine, just fine. But you... Why are you fixed to look like a prospector?
I'm looking for the man who robbed the bank last night.
How'd you know about that?
I met Carl Gorman, he told me.
Oh, that poor lad.
He came back with me. He and Toto are in the stable.
Oh.
Ma Hank, I think the thieves are living here in the hotel.
Maybe, but if so, they'd hid the money somewhere else, mister. The deputies searched all the rooms for the kind of currency that was stolen. And all they could find was some money that I had drawn from the bank. Why, the dumb galoot tried to arrest me.
As Ma Hank told of her experience with a new currency from the Bank of Denver, the Lone Ranger became thoughtful. When she finished, he said,
"We might be able to use that paper money of yours to trap the thieves."
That'd clear Carl Gorman of all suspicion, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I can't think of a better way to use the money. I'll get it for you.
You'll get it back.
Oh, I don't care what you do with it, mister, but I'd like to know your plans. I'm curious.
All right. I'm going to spend the money very freely in your cafe.
Later that evening, the Lone Ranger, still disguised, went into the cafe with Ma Hank's money in his pocket. When he saw and recognized Lon Felton and Chip Evans, he became boisterous and called,
"Give every man what he wants. It's on me."
Ma Hank's husband, Uncle Homer, who waited on the trade, went wide-eyed.
Take some money.
And this'll pay for it. And here's a $20 bill for you, Uncle.
Oh, my.
I'll take that, huh?
Yes, my dear.
Let the old gent keep it, lady. Here's another 20 for yourself.
Hey, you seem to be well healed, mister.
Yep. That's more where this came from.
Where'd you get so much money?
Prospecting, ma'am. Just prospecting.
Prospecting, my eye. Why, you don't dig $20 banknotes out of the ground.
Hey, maybe that money's counterfeit.
Nope. It's genuine.
Mind if I look at it?
Here you are, son. Have a good look.
Chip Evans glanced at the money, then hurried to the table where Lon Felton sat.
It's the same kind of cash, Lon. Banknotes from the Denver Bank.
What do you make of it?
The old goat must have found what we buried on Boot Hill.
Well, if I was sure of that.
Lon, we ought to make sure.
Right now?
Yeah. If that old man found our money, we'll deal with him.
Oh,
come on.
Watching from the side of his eye, the Lone Ranger saw the thieves walk out of the cafe. He turned to Ma Hank.
Did you see them?
Yes. You think they took the bait?
We'll soon know. Oh, did you get the sheriff?
Yeah, he's waiting in my office with the deputy.
All right, let's go.
The thieves walked rapidly through the darkness to the cemetery at the edge of town. They made their way past several headboards marking graves until they reached a new grave where the earth had been recently turned.
This is it, Lon.
It's hard to tell if the earth's been disturbed since last night.
Scrape it away with your knife.
Now, we didn't bury that tin box very deep.
No, if it's there, you ought to find it in a hurry.
Hey, it's here. At least the box is here.
Better take it out and see if the money is still inside.
Good idea.
In fact, I think it'll be safe to take the money with us now that the law has searched our room.
Yeah, we'll do that. Here's the box.
Hurry up.
Money there?
Yeah.
That's all we want to know.
What? There he is, and he's masked.
What? The law wants you to.
As the Lone Ranger, who had stripped off the disguise and put on his mask, advanced from behind a nearby tombstone,
The thieves were momentarily frozen by surprise. Then, ignoring a gun he held, they leaped forward.
I'll knife him.
In dodging the sweeping blade, the Lone Ranger lost his chance to shoot.
I've got his gun, Harry.
He's got my knife.
Use your other hand. Smash him in the face.
I'm doing it.
Hit him. Let go of my knife. You hear? Let's go.
The Lone Ranger released his grip, dropping his free left hand to the holster.
Now
Ron raised his knife to strike.
Oh, my
But in that instant, the masked man fired from the hip as the blade flew through the air.
Take it.
The Lone Ranger swung his left hand, gripping the gun in a short arc to Chip's head. With a blow, the outlaw's grip on the masked man's right hand relaxed. The Lone Ranger stepped back with both hands free.
You're covered.
Now, don't shoot again.
Don't shoot me, mister. Don't shoot.
Now, hold on there. Come on, Sheriff. We're late.
The Sheriff.
Ma Hank.
I'll take charge here. You're all covered.
Arriving on the run, Ma Hank was closely followed by the sheriff, his deputy, and Carl Gorman.
They're the bank robbers, Sheriff.
Smith and Ritter.
Their real names are Lon Shelton and Chip Evans.
Oh, my God.
You'll find the stolen money in that box.
There, you see, Sheriff? Just as I told you. The masked man's on your side of the law.
Have you two lawmen your handcuffs?
You ought to know. Use handcuffs, Joe. They're still warm from being around our own ankles.
These lawmen insisted on staying far back so we wouldn't be seen.
Sheriff, I'm sorry for the way we had to treat you this afternoon.
Sure, it's a fine way to treat a couple of honest lawmen. But I... Well, after what Ma Hank told me about you...
Oh, here's Tonto with the horses.
And it's time to move on. Carl, I'm sure you're no longer under suspicion.
You're doggone right he's not.
You're in the clear, Gorman. Sorry I misjudged.
That's all right, Sheriff. As long as you don't do it again.
There should be a lesson to you, Sheriff. A lesson in the importance of keeping an open mind.
Yeah, I reckon it will be.
Keep my copy.
Coming, Tonto. We'll see you again, Ma Hank.
Adios!
Sheriff, you said Ma Hank told you something about the masked man.
Yes, that's why I was willing to go along with this plan of his.
What'd you tell you?
He told me who he is, that's all. He's a Lone Ranger.
Feature of the Lone Ranger Incorporated is produced by Pendle Campbell Muir Incorporated. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer. Your announcer, Fred Boyd. Listen to the Lone Ranger, brought to you by special recording Mondays through Fridays at this same time.